Isbell family, give them another round of applause. This is my first time meeting the Isbell family, and I want to tell you what, this is a talented group of people that love the Lord, and I just love family harmony. There's something that you have within the family that years of practice can't bring, and you guys have done a great job already lifting us into the heavenly realms and keeping Jesus right in front of us. So thank you for your ministry. Good to see each of you this morning. I will call your attention to the book of Acts, chapter 2, as we just revisit Pentecost for a few moments here today. Not so much historical Pentecost. You realize as you get the scripture, Pentecost to the people of God was a feast. It was a celebration that almost like this camp meeting, it happened every year, same time, same place. And the people would come together and they would give thanks for the first fruits of their crops. And they would commemorate and celebrate the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. That was historical Pentecost. Every year, same time, same place. But when you come to Acts chapter 2, now, Pentecost to the Christian takes on a whole new meaning. And this is the birthing of the New Testament church. It gives us the outline for the sanctified life, what God desires. You be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. So let's just take a look at this very familiar scripture, Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, it was always 50 days after Passover. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, I don't know about you, but I like things that happen suddenly. I'd be thrilled if God just suddenly broke into our service this morning. This week, as we gather from service to service, we have a schedule, we may have an agenda, we've prayed, we've prepared, but oh, Holy Spirit, you're welcome. At any juncture, at any time, at any place, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. What if you looked down here and said, Pastor Wayne, your head's on fire. And this is one the Taylor County Fire Department can't put out. God's up to something. God's doing something. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Heavenly Father, as we would get into this word today, I pray as always that your word would come alive inside of us. And Lord, I pray that we could take some inventory of ourselves spiritually in here today. That we would give you permission, Holy Spirit, to examine every area of our heart and life. And I trust and pray that when we walk out of here today, we can testify that we are living in a present-day Pentecost experience. And God, will give you praise, glory, and honor for all you do. It's in your strong name we pray. Everyone in agreement say, amen. Amen. Every now and then, I just like to say it up front publicly. I am not ashamed of being a holiness preacher. I've never been ashamed of our holiness message. There's nothing wrong with the message. However, I am convicted when I'm reminded of Mahatma Gandhi's quote, very famous quote, to E. Stanley Jones, the missionary. And I'm going to paraphrase it, say it a couple of different ways. But Gandhi said to E. Stanley Jones, I love your Christ, But he said, it's your Christians that I struggle with. Let me say that another way. I love your message of heart holiness, but it's the practice of some of your people that profess that, that doesn't quite measure up. And every time I'm reminded of that quote, I have to say, ouch, rather than amen. It's amazing how God the Holy Spirit weaves together all of these services. We don't get together ahead of time and ask, what are you teaching? What are you preaching? But this is exactly what Dr. Schaefer was sharing in our Bible hour this morning. There cannot be a disconnect from what we're professing, what we're testifying to, and then our conduct in daily life. What we are actually doing and how we are practicing, living out this holy life. I've kind of used the term down through the years, there's a credibility gap. There's a credibility gap when someone is professing holiness and yet they are not practicing, they are not living it in a manner that measures up with what God wants for us. So I want us to address some things here today. And I want us to just take inventory as we go through this. And I'm going to ask the question very practically. Are you experiencing this? Are you living in the fullness of a present day Pentecost experience? Six characteristics, if you want to take some notes. Number one, there is a remarkable fusion that happens when we experience the fullness of God in our lives. There's a remarkable fusion. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, in one accord. This is the unity that is so desperately needed in our church today, in our world today. These disciples on the day of Pentecost, you know their story. Before Pentecost, they were arguing with one another, who's going to sit in the big chair, who's going to get all of the popularity, the publicity, who's going to get the credit. And Jesus, over and over again, had to rebuke his disciples. And sometimes, even in the church today, rebuke is still necessary because we're demonstrating a black hair on his head, she'd pull it out. Well, the younger wife, she never wanted her husband to look old. So if she ever saw a gray hair on his head, she pulled it out. Well, pretty soon they plucked the poor man bald-headed. There was nothing left. Now listen to me, church. I have seen families. I have seen churches. I have seen camp meetings, believe it or not, that at one time were on fire for God, and yet today there's nothing left. And a lot of times it's just the result of disunity and not walking in step with the Holy Spirit. So this is a great question to ask yourself as we dive into a closer walk with God this week. There's nothing wrong with our message of heart holiness. But are you living in the fullness of that experience? Ask yourself this question, are my relationships in harmony? Am I in one accord with those around me? Now, it doesn't mean we always have to see eye to eye. We've got to learn, once again, church, how to disagree agreeably and love one another. I love that song you sung about just being in love with Jesus. And I want to tell you what, perfect love is one of my favorite terms for the holiness experience, not perfect performance. Anybody have perfect performance? Lift your hand. You're not going to find that. But we can have this perfect intent, this perfect motive of loving God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, to the point that it shows up in our daily relationships. Can I say something? There's nothing worse than sour holiness. There's nothing worse than someone that is testifying to be saved and sanctified and they're mad at the world. We got to be winning witnesses. We've got a beautiful message. Are you experiencing a present-day Pentecost in that you have this beautiful fusion, this coming together, this unity? On Pentecost, there was not only this remarkable fusion, but there was an incredible filling that took place. So there was a fusion. Secondly, there was an incredible filling. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, aren't you glad that there's no such thing as somebody over here this morning being saved and then somebody over here being saved-er? Aren't you glad it don't work like that? There's no such thing as somebody over here on this side of the tabernacle being sanctified, somebody in the back being sanctified-er, and then somebody over here on this side being sanctified-est. Whatever that would mean, although I have met a few down through the years that try to give the impression they're above and beyond everybody else. No, you're either saved today or you're not saved. You're either sanctified, filled with God's Holy Spirit, or you're not. But listen, you can have everything He has for you this day. It's a living fullness, not a mechanical fullness. I want to be very clear. I believe in a definite work of grace. When God saves us, it happens in a moment. I believe in a second definite work of grace where God can sanctify us in a moment. But then we began the process. Let's quit fussing and fighting about is it instantaneous or is it process? It's both and. There's a moment in time that God fills us. But it's not a mechanical fullness. It's a living fullness. Now, you want to know the difference between a mechanical fullness and a living fullness? It's the difference between a bucket and a baby. You fill a bucket full of milk, come back 3 or 4 hours later, it's still full. You fill a baby full of milk, come back a few hours later, you got to fill the baby up again. What D.L. Moody say about the sanctified life being filled with the Holy Spirit? We leak, and we need those times of continual putting ourselves on the altar and letting the Holy Spirit work on us. I think one of the most beautiful attributes of the sanctified life is a teachable spirit. When we kind of decide we know everything and we don't need any other help, I've come to camp meeting this year. I want everything God has for me. He's still working on me. Even little kids understand that when they sing that song. I had a work witness trip from my church several years ago over in Africa. We were out in deep Zulu country, and one of our team members got away from the group on one of the evenings, and man, he later told the story. He was scared to death. There wasn't much light in the little village, and he was lost, and he said he made his way back into the camp, and he said he came around a little hut, and he ran right into what looked like a 7-foot-tall native African warrior. Body piercings, paint, only stitch of clothing he had on was a bright pink neon t-shirt that said, "God ain't through with me yet." Some of that stuff gets through, we send. But he's still working on me. So now, just take some inventory. Are you living in the fullness of His Spirit? Are you living in the closeness in your relationship with God? When He fills us, there's a cleansing, and then there's this empowering. And sometimes we refer to it as power and purity. And I just want to stay here for a moment because there are churches and there are people that emphasize one at the expense of the other. But it's both and. when we are sanctified holy, when we have the present day Pentecost experience, he fills us, he cleanses us, purifies us from that nature of sin, but then he also empowers us for service. And here's what I find when one will emphasize one at the expense of the other. The power churches, they love to talk about the fullness of the Spirit in that we are able to utilize Holy Spirit power in our lives and take authority over sin and Satan, and it's wonderful. But sometimes they emphasize the power of the Holy Spirit at the expense of the purity message. And again, we cannot have that credibility gap. There cannot be that disconnect. There are churches that emphasize the purity of the holiness message, and that's the tradition this camp comes from, a Wesleyan theological persuasion. But we got to be very careful in our camp that we also acknowledge the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Not just the purity. Here's what I found, and this is sad. Churches that just emphasize the purity message, we call those word churches. Churches that just emphasize the power message, we tend to call the spirit churches. And it all sounds good, but it's not one or the other. It's both and. And here's what ultimately happens with the power church, the spirit church that only emphasizes the gifts of the Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in a dynamic fashion, too many times they end up blowing up. And there's not an emphasis on a holy, clean, purified life. But on the other hand, the word church that will just emphasize the purity message at the expense of the power, many times they dry up. Now, I don't want to dry up, and I don't want to blow up. The holiness message gives us room for the word, gives us room for the Spirit, and we operate right in the middle of that. Do not discount the gifts of the Spirit. But then may we never stray from the fruit of the Spirit. Again, it's not emphasizing one over the other. No such thing as sanctified, sanctified-er, sanctified-us. Are you living in harmony, in unity with one another? Are your relationships in one accord? Have you experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit? We need the power. We need the purity. A third characteristic that took place on the day of Pentecost and should take place in our lives, not only a fusion and a filling, but there's a divine fervency. Tongues of fire sat upon each of them. We used to sing about it. Oh, I never shall forget how the fire fell when the Lord sanctified me. And I've never gotten over it. I've never just taken that for granted. So I'm going to ask you very practically, are you living in the divine fervency of the Spirit-filled life? Now, I'm not talking about just emotionalism. I'm not trying to hype up a lot of emotion in here today. But I do want to say thank God for the sanctified enthusiasm of the early church. They turned their world upside down. And if we in America are ever going to see an old-time revival again, there's going to have to be some passion in our churches. There's going to have to be some fervency, some urgency in how we live our lives if we're going to be effective witnesses to those around us. You think of Simon Peter prior to Pentecost. Oh, he could talk a good game, couldn't he? If Peter's thinking it, he's saying it. And yet many times he got his foot in the mouth. And he had good intentions, but good intentions aren't always enough. I'll never forsake you, Jesus. These other disciples, they're not as strong as me, but you don't have to worry about me. And Jesus just kind of nods his head, and I can see him kind of say, Pete, you don't get it. Before that rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will have denied me three times. Never. Never. Good intentions. And yet the scripture tells us that once, twice, a third time, cursing, denying that he even knew who Jesus was. And the rooster crows, and Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. We've all been there. Good intentions. But after Pentecost, you can't shut Peter up. You can tie him up. You can put him in prison. You can beat him up. But how many times did he go through the front door of a jail and left out the back door, carrying a prison gate under one arm and a new convert under another? When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's this divine fervency. There's this fire, this passion. Are you experiencing that today? Or have you just kind of got used to doing church? We've got so seeker-sensitive in doing church. I mean, we've made it as comfortable for people as we can to come in, and I'm fine with that. Talked about some of that last night in here. Thank God for methodology that changes down through the years. But I don't know. We might have went too far with this. We've got everybody in their comfortable seats. I don't think we're far away from having recliners in church. And you just lean back. And I hear this. Any pastor in the room, you've heard this. Oh, we need to be fed. We need to be fed. I got to go to a church where I'm being fed. And so we just come to church. We get in that recliner. Feed me, preacher. Feed me. Oh, it sounds good, don't it? Feed me, preacher. And all we do is get fat spiritually because we're not working out our salvation. We're not exercising our faith. And then we take on this mindset. If I don't like what you're serving today, Pastor, I'll go find me another restaurant to eat in. That's what we've turned church into. Just one more consumer-driven product. So I'm asking you today on purpose. We don't want this disconnect from what we're testifying to and what we're actually living out. We don't need that credibility gap. Are you living in unity with one another? Are you experiencing the fullness of God? Are you living with a passion, an up-to-date victory in Jesus? Let me give you a couple more. Number four, there should be a glorious freedom. We sung about that in here this morning. There's so many people around the church that are in bondage. So many people that, again, are testifying to the saving, sanctifying power of God and yet living in bondage. My friends, it should not be so. There's liberty. There's freedom. My chains are gone. He has set me free. I pray if there's someone here this week at camp, maybe the message of holiness, this sounds almost foreign to you and you've not heard it preached in your church for many years. And as a result, there's not a lot of fervency. There's not a lot of freedom. I pray this week at camp meeting, if you'll just pull up close, if you'll just fall on your face before God, let Him fill you and thrill you and free you. Number five, there was an incredible fruitfulness on the day of Pentecost. Are you experiencing fruitfulness in your place of service? Are you being used of God through the Holy Spirit to be a winning witness? I love the story here in Acts chapter 2. Peter gets up after they have prayed for 10 days in the upper room, and he preaches a 10-minute sermon. Somebody say amen on that one. Prayed for 10 days, preached for 10 minutes, 3,000 got saved that day. Now think about how we do it today. We might pray 10 minutes before the service. We might preach for 10 days. Anybody love camp meeting? And we're lucky if three get saved. What's the difference? The power, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And you and I being wide open to whatever He wants to do, whatever He wants to say. Is this happening in your life? Do you see the fruit of your witness? I'm not going to ask when was the last time you led someone to Jesus, but think of it. By our fruit, we are known. The tree that does not bear fruit, the limb will be cut off, cast out, thrown in the fire. We've got an incredible message. We've got an incredible experience with God that too many times we live way beneath all the opportunity that He has afforded us. Is this happening in your life? A fusion, a filling, a fervency, a freedom, a fruitfulness. And in the last one, we have a marvelous future. As we continue to trust in Almighty God, this world is all we've known. And that's why we wring our hands and we worry and we stress. Are we going to be able to pay the bills? Are we going to be able to send the kids to college? Are we going to be able to... This world's all we've ever known. But I promise you, there's coming a better day. I promise you, there's a marvelous future ahead of us. What's better than knowing you're going to heaven when you die? What's better than knowing your name's written in the Lamb's book of life and you're going to hear well done, good and faithful? So here's the best of both worlds, folks. We've got that to look forward to, but Jesus promises us some heaven on earth. Right now, right here. Jesus said when you pray, pray like this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's one of the things I love about camp meeting. In fact, the camp meeting I grew up in, we called it 10 Days of Heaven on Earth. And we look forward to it as little kids coming to camp every year. In fact, we thought it was better than Christmas because Christmas was only one day. We had 10 days of camp meeting. So as we kick off camp meeting, Taylor County, 2024 edition, 85th anniversary, I'm just asking, take some inventory. Are you living in the fullness of our beautiful holiness message? Or are you just testifying to something in theory? And it sounds good and you can talk the talk, but is there that credibility gap? Is there that disconnect from what we're saying and what we're doing? Well, the answer to this, my friends, is to get on your face before God. And I don't care if you've been saved for one day or you've been saved for 85 years. We still have to be wide open to what God wants to do in our lives. Sometimes I hear some of the old-timers say with fear, oh, but we need to preserve our doctrine. Can I tell you something? You preserve something that is dead. You don't have to preserve the doctrine of holiness. What we need to do is let the lion out of the cage. What we need to do is preach the word and let the Holy Spirit connect it. As we are wide open to what He wants to do, I hope this will be your approach. We're about ready to go eat lunch. Anybody excited about lunch at Taylor County, say amen. We go there expecting to receive something, don't we? We've got a hunger, we've got an appetite, and we know where we can be fed. Well, let's not miss it. Here on these grounds this week, let's be wide open, let's be hungry for everything He has for us. The story was told of a young student centuries ago. that had an occasion to meet his hero. It was the great ancient philosopher Socrates. And the student was so enamored with Socrates, and he said, "Oh, great Socrates," he said, "I desire wisdom and knowledge like you have." And Socrates said, "Okay." He said, "Follow me." And he led the young man out into the sea, the water, until water was up to their necks. And Socrates said to the student, he said, "Son, what is it you want?" And a young student said, "Oh, great Socrates, I desire wisdom and knowledge like you have." And Socrates said, "Okay." And he pushed the guy's head underwater and held it there for 30 seconds. Pulled him up by the hair of the head, and he said, "Son, what do you want?" And the young student said, "Oh, great Socrates, I desire wisdom and knowledge like you have." Socrates said, "I thought that's what you said." Pushed his head back underwater. This time, held his head underwater for one full minute. Pulled him up by the hair of the head, and he said, "Son, what is it you want?" And the young man coughed, and he said, "I want air." Socrates said, "Okay." He said, "The moment you want wisdom and knowledge, that's what you say you want. The moment you want wisdom and knowledge, like you now want air in order to breathe, in order to live," he said, "that's when you're going to have it." So I want to leave this challenge with you today. Are you so hungry for God and you want Him so desperately, it's like my next breath, in order to live, I've got to have you in fullness? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just pull us in close to you. Thank God for your Spirit always pulling us close to what you want for us. You have a meal. You have an incredible supply that can fill every heart in this room today. And Lord, we want everything you have for us. So may we desire you like we desire the very next breath of air. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. Let's just ponder this message. Is it happening in your life? Place of prayer is always open. If you want to pray, come as we sing. Holy Spirit, fall fresh. Let Him do it right now. That's it. God bless you. Yes, I want everything you have for me. Yes. Sing that again. Keep coming. Keep coming. I want everything you have. Right now. Right now. I want everything. Go to work on me. Go to work on me right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that never returns void unto you. It always accomplishes what you intend. And I pray especially for those that are kneeling here at the altars today, those that are bowing at the altars of their heart where they're standing. I pray that you would fill them to the point of overflow. I pray, Lord, that there might be some unity that takes place in relationships that are broken. I pray that you would come into some chaos and confusion right now and just free someone. Give them liberty. Give them that glorious freedom that sets us free from the claws of sin and death. Oh, we're so glad that you came to destroy the work of the devil. You came to destroy the work of the enemy. It is finished. And now, Lord, today I pray that we can walk out of here living in the divine fullness of what you have made possible for us. When you shed your blood for us on that cross, meet every need, bless our time together as we break bread. And Lord, we're already looking forward to come back in here tonight and enjoy the feast that you have prepared for us. It's in the strong, strong name of Jesus we pray. Everyone in agreement say, amen. Let's sing that chorus one more time. Continue to praise the Lord as you go today. God bless you.